first time or you're just visiting with us today, we want to welcome you in the name of Jesus. It's great to have you with us. We pray that God will richly bless you and speak to you through his word. You know, in Kingdom Faith, at Faith Camp, we spoke about, or Clive, Pastor Clive particularly, spoke about the five core purposes of Kingdom Faith as a church. And just want to remind you about that we believe for revival for a generation. That's why we exist as a church. We believe God for a revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society by faith, expressed through love in the power of the Holy Spirit, to win and make disciples of all nations. That's why we exist as a church. And the core purposes of Kingdom Faith were to teach, train and equip the church to advance the kingdom of God. The second one was to raise up and release the emerging generation. That's the younger generation that's coming up, to release them into all that God has for them and pass on to them the things that we've received so that they will then run even faster than we do. The third one is apostolic mission. That's to do with not just planting churches, but apostolic mission has that apostolic anointing upon it to lead and authority, to establish and found and release. Number four, it's to be a house of prayer for the nations and a people of worship. Prayer and worship are the keys. And number five, it's to be a lead boat. There was a prophecy given in Kingdom Faith a few years ago that we were to be a lead boat, with the actual words that came in this prophecy, in bringing a biblical understanding of Israel to the church in Britain, because there's a lot of misunderstanding about Israel in Great Britain. So part of our mandate, which we're obviously working with in Kingdom Faith, is to help people understand the importance that Israel has in the heart of God, and that God hasn't finished with Israel, far from it, and that they have an integral part to do with the church. They are linked into the church. The church is a part with them as well. So bringing a biblical understanding about Israel to the church, and particularly to leaders in this nation. So those are the five core purposes of Kingdom Faith, and we're going to get some of these printed up so that you can actually pin them up and think, what does that really mean? And hopefully we can unpack some of those things in this season. But let's just turn to the word of God. Let's just pray together. And Father, we ask you this morning that by your Spirit, Lord, you will come and unlock your word to us. Lord, bring revelation to us, we pray this morning. And Father, we pray, send your fire, the fire of your Spirit, upon us. Lord, let your river, the river of your Holy Spirit, flow, Lord, in the way that Bob was speaking about today, Father. Let there be such a flow of in our own lives into that main river of where you're taking us as a body. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, if I can remember where I'm going to turn into my Bible, find my bit of paper. John's Gospel, chapter 7. John chapter 7, and I do apologise this morning for those of you that didn't see any words on the screen. That's because we haven't got the projector here. Sometimes we have these little technical hitches. John chapter 7 and verse 37. And this was at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a Jewish celebration. They still celebrate it today. Celebrated at the end of September, just into the beginning of October each year. It was a Thanksgiving festival, and it commemorates divine guidance given to Israel during their wanderings in the wilderness. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, they build temporary shelters made of palm and other branches, remembering how God kept the children of Israel, a whole load of them, in the wilderness during those years. Each day there was a joyful celebration during this Feast of Tabernacles, in which the priests brought water to the temple from the Pool of Siloam in a golden pitcher, that's like a great big golden jug, and the people recited Isaiah 12 verse 3, which we read earlier, which is, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the well of salvation." And the water was poured out on the altar as an offering to God, while the people shouted and sang. See, they did that in the Old Testament too, you know, shouted and sang. Jesus was the fulfillment of this ceremony and the Holy Spirit's power and life. And so we're going to read these, I'm just explaining that to you so that you understand, this was a Jewish festival that they were celebrating. And of course, Jesus was going along to this festival. And it says in verse 37, "The last day of the feast was the greatest. It was then that Jesus stood and shouted aloud, 'Anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. For from deep within, anyone who believes in me will flow out rivers of living water,' as the scripture says." I love it when God speaks to someone else, gives them a prophetic word like he did with Bob this morning, because he didn't know I was going to... God gave me this scripture this morning, hot off the press. Isn't that amazing? That's the Lord. That means the Lord's wanting to speak words of life to us. And Jesus cries aloud, and he said he stood and shouted, "Anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink." I don't know if you're here, but Jesus is saying that to you this morning. Come to me and drink. "For from deep within, anyone who believes in me..." How many people believe in Jesus this morning? Just put up your hand if you're a believer in him this morning. Then you qualify then to receive the greatest thing God can give to you, and that's his Holy Spirit. "Anyone who says, 'Come to me and drink,' for from deep within, anyone who believes in me will flow out rivers of living water, as the scripture says." Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. Later, those who believed in him would be filled with God's Spirit. Until then, his Spirit had not been given to live within anyone. This would not happen until Jesus had returned to heaven in glory. And that's exactly, of course, what happened, isn't it? And it was a picture at this festival of what God was going to do. So these things, these festivals and things that the Jewish people did, they were all pictures or illustrations that typified who Jesus was and about the kingdom and about the realities of what we're living in today. Okay? So when the golden jug was brought and poured out, it was a picture that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out because of the altar. That's the sacrifice of Jesus. And do you know, Jesus didn't just come to forgive us and to cleanse us from our sins, but he came to give us a future and a hope, and he came to give us his Holy Spirit. That's the most precious thing that God could do. Because of his blood that was poured out for us, he's made it possible for us to receive his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was living in Jesus, that was part of Christ, part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. The person of God, the Holy Spirit, has come to be given to you so that you can literally be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. And as we read some of these scriptures, you may be thinking, he often reads this scripture. And I don't apologize about that, because God keeps bringing us back to some very basic things about the Holy Spirit, probably because we're not living in it. So when God brings us back to something, it usually means we haven't really applied what he's saying to us, or we need to apply more what he's saying to us and get into all that he wants to do. And in Mark chapter 16, while you're turning there, remember Jesus said that we were to come and drink, and that these wells of living water would fill us. And then what happens when they fill us? What happens to them? Where do they go? Sorry? They flow out. And the whole point, the whole purpose of God giving us the Holy Spirit isn't just to make us feel good, although it will do. Isn't just to fill us with joy, it will do that. Isn't just to fill us with power, it'll do that. But it's actually so that river on the inside of us will flow out, and the Spirit of God will flow out of us into what he wants to do. Amen. And if you get a whole church of people all with that same intention, that same purpose, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit, not for me, but so that I can serve God in the power of his life and love, and that river will flow out of me. You imagine if that happens right through the whole of the church in this nation. You imagine what kind of river is going to flow across this nation. The question is, will we let him? See, God said to me this morning when I was praying, he said, "Paul, I've given you everything you need. It's up to you to take what I've given to you. It's up to you to receive and take hold of what's yours every day." So you can't live on a past experience I had 30, 40 years ago when God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. I've got to live in the good of what he's doing in me today. That's part of what happened in my experience, but I've got to live today in what God's going to do in me today. I've got to be filled with the Spirit afresh today. And you have too. Because we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. Because that's where the love, that's where the electricity of God is. That's where the power of God is. Where he wants to flow on the inside of us so that we've then got something fresh to give to somebody else. Amen. And God wants us to be full of the Spirit. Now in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus, it says, he gave them this commission. Go to every part of the world and preach the good news everywhere. So what are we to do? Go. That's the first thing we're to do. I've entitled this morning's message, Power to Go. God wants us to go. In this autumn time, it's going to be a great time for us. Because God's telling us again, he's reminding us again about the call on our lives and as a people, that we're to go in the power of the Spirit. And it says, Jesus gave them a commission, go to every part of the world and preach the good news everywhere. So he was commissioning these disciples to go and preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in me and is baptized will be saved and will be given eternal life. But whoever does not believe will remain condemned. Those who believe will perform signs to verify the truth of what they believe. They will drive out demons in my name from those who are in such bondage. They will speak in new languages given them by the Holy Spirit. Some will even pick up deadly snakes with their hands without being harmed. Others will be given deadly poison to drink, but it will have no effect on them. This isn't being done on purpose, by the way. We don't have sort of a... Well, this evening we're going to have snake handling round at Jeff and June's. And we're going to handle these snakes and see who lives. Poison snake. That's not what... You know, some people have done that. Crazy thinking. But it's saying that when you find yourself in a situation where you could be bitten by a snake or hurt by fire or something, where it could be that you drink something poisonous, which you could do in lots of places, it'll have no effect on you if you're walking by faith in the power of the Spirit. And it says, they will lay their hands on the sick and they shall be healed. That's to all of us, you see. That's the part of our commission. When the Lord Jesus finished speaking to them, they watched as he was taken up into heaven. And when he took his place at God's right hand, then the disciples began to obey the commission Jesus had given them. Everywhere they went and preached the good news of all Jesus had said and done. The Lord himself worked with them, performing the miraculous signs that verified that what they preached was the truth. Isn't that amazing? But that's for us. You know, we sometimes look back and say, oh, that must have been wonderful to live in that time. It must have been so great with the Holy Spirit was outpoured and these disciples have been with Jesus. But, you know, we've got the same. Exactly the same things are available to us this morning as were available to the disciples. We sometimes think that they had an advantage. No, we've got the same Savior. We've got the same Lord. The fact is, he's gone to heaven. It was only when he went to heaven that he could send the Holy Spirit into those 12 disciples that they then were empowered, filled with power, to then go out and make Jesus known. So until that happened, until Jesus went back to heaven, they had no power to do these things. Now Jesus this morning is in heaven. He's reigning in heaven. And he wants you and me to be filled every day with his power so that we can go and preach the gospel, make Jesus known in our workplace, neighbors, friends, enemies, relatives, wherever we go, wherever he sends us, to make the Lord Jesus Christ known in the power of the Spirit. And we can do the same thing. The same Holy Spirit power is available to you this morning. You may not feel it, you may not even believe it, but I can tell you this morning, on the base of God's word, that that same power that was in Jesus is available to every one of us. There's no difference. Every one of us who have repented and believe in Jesus Christ, that same power is available to you. If you'll believe, that's the first thing we have to do, and then receive what he wants to give to you in this season. I just got freshly challenged this morning, because when I was meeting with God this morning, and he said to me, Paul, I've given you everything you need, but it's up to you to take hold of it. That means that I have to do something. Just say, I have to do something. Just say it again. I have to do something. See, there are some things that we have to do. There's some things that God does, but there's other things that we have to do. Our part is to take hold of God in by faith and believe what his word says, and then start receiving, just like you would if Jerry was to come up and give me a drink of water this morning. The way I would do it, I would receive it, I'd open my mouth and gulp it down. In the same way, the same simple way, faith takes hold of what God has said. Thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Lord, you want me to be filled. I'm going to just start receiving. And as you begin to receive, for me, when I start receiving from God, I usually begin to pray in tongues. As I receive, I quite often will start to sing. I'll definitely be praying. Sometimes I'll be quiet for a while and receive some more, and then out comes some more. So what I'm saying is that you have to learn how to receive from God what he has to give to you. But he is come to live within us by his power. Let's go to Matthew 28. This is a good way to, this message is a good way to start our time back together again. Matthew 28, verse 18. The 11 disciples went to the mountain in Galilee where Jesus had instructed them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still had doubts. Jesus told them, "All heavenly and earthly authority has been given to me, so now I tell you to go and make disciples in every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I have taught and commanded you. And be assured of this, I am always present with you, even to the end of this age." So we have two, we have Matthew and Mark. Between the two of them, they're telling us that Jesus has commissioned us to go. Both of them use the word go. They've commissioned us to go and preach the gospel. That means to make Jesus Christ known to other people. And the second thing is to go and make disciples. And if you put those two things together, you'll get the full picture of what God has asked us to do in this church, asked every church to do actually, to see God's kingdom come, is we have to go and make Jesus known to other people. We have to tell them about him. We need to tell people about Jesus Christ, not in a forced way, not in a powerless way, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus wants us to go and make disciples. That means making people, helping people to follow Jesus, become like Jesus Christ. That's what discipleship does. And we're to go and we're literally to help people obey and do all that he said. So that's our job. If we're going to disciple someone else, our job is to teach them God's word and to show them by example in our own life with God, the way that we live our lives, we example that to others so that they will pick up, it'll rub off onto them. So they're not just hearing the word, but they're seeing the word in action in our own lives. That's true discipleship. So discipleship is exampled, and it cannot be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be the key, that must be the most important person in all that in all of our going. Does this make sense? Let's go on from there. Let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. What I've discovered about the Holy Spirit is you can't put the Holy Spirit in a box. The Holy Spirit, he is holy. He is God in the Spirit. He's the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Spirit of God the Father. He is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's God in the Spirit. And he decides how and when he does things. What we need to do is believe in him and make room for him to do whatever he wants to do in your own life, in my life. And it says here in, let's just read it at verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. Theophilus, that's the name of a person, by the way. "I have already written an account for you of Jesus' teaching and the works he performed before his return to heaven, before his departure. He gave the apostles he had chosen the commission they were to fulfill through the Holy Spirit." There it is. "After his death on the cross, he appeared in his risen body to these men, demonstrating that he was very much alive. During a period of 40 days, he appeared to them on a number of occasions and spoke further to them about God's kingdom." These were witnesses. They live. They're just telling us what happened. If anyone has doubts about the resurrection of Jesus, his best mates, his friends, the disciples told us, wrote down what they saw and what happened. They wouldn't have done that had it not happened. While eating with them on one occasion, he commanded them, stay in Jerusalem until you've received the gift. Just say the gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit that my Father promised and of which I spoke to you. For John only baptized people in water for the forgiveness of their sins, but within a few days you'll be immersed in the Holy Spirit, baptized in his life and power. You know the word baptism. When we baptize people in this church, what do we do? We dunk them. Every day we're baptizing things. And the Greek word is baptizo, and it literally means to immerse. So this morning, oh no, I didn't do it this morning actually, but yes I did. I baptized my tea bag in my mug of hot water. And every day we're baptizing something. Perhaps you baptize your biscuit in the, I like dunking my biscuit, so I always baptize my biscuit in the tea or the coffee. And the word baptizo, or this word baptism, means to be totally immersed. It means to be totally saturated, like a sponge. God wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you're not, and if I'm not, or if it's all run out, then we will lack the power to do the job. You know, the car that you kindly took up an offering for, was it a year or 18 months or so ago, and blessed me with when I didn't have a car. I prayed about it before I did it, but I took out a 3-year warranty, a Gold Star AA warranty. Very wise decision, because there have been a number of annoying things that have gone wrong that would have cost at least by now, I don't know, £400 or £500. And the recent thing that happened was it on the motorway, it would go into limp mode. Now, limp mode. Have you not heard of that? And limp mode is when there's a problem on the computer side of the car and it just, the turbo closes down. And so although the car's still running, but there's no power. So you put your foot on the accelerator, you're on the outside lane trying to overtake the lorry, and you're getting cars flashing you, but you can't go anywhere with it because it's stuck in limp mode. And so you gradually have to indicate and pull over into the inside lane and annoy everyone. Well, praise God, it got fixed. They finally, after the third attempt, they found what the fault was, and it was all mended. It's now running on full power. Amen. I know a lot of Christians who are running on limp mode. And they haven't been able to quite work out, the diagnostics haven't quite worked out what's wrong. But the Holy Spirit will sort it out. And he doesn't want us going back in our past the rest of our lives. He wants us to get sorted and to run on with God and in the things of God and be living in freedom. And, you know, most of our problems come because we do not believe what Jesus has really done for us. A lot of us are actually looking to our past. I did it myself for a number of years to try and find what the problem was. Wrong diagnosis. Because Jesus dealt with it on the cross 2,000 years ago. And crucified it and overcame every problem and every difficulty and everything I went through. He bore it on the cross. Anything that happened to you, good and bad, Jesus took on the cross for you. So it means that today you're a new creation. That's why we don't go digging into the past. The Bible actually forbids us to do that. It says, forget the past. Behold, I do a new thing. And what God wants us to do is to come into the new things of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. On the cross, where he defeated Satan and broke every curse. That's why you don't have to look into your family tree and say, well, I've got Freemasons 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, 5 generations back. It's going to affect me. No, it's not. The cross of Jesus broke the power of Freemasonry. Broke the power of alcoholism. Broke the power of every curse was broken by Jesus on the cross. I didn't plan to say this, but anyway, I'm going to carry on. So, and the Spirit of God defeat it on the cross through Jesus. That's why it's a mistake to go back into your past and try and find things, because the devil will help you. Find lots of things that are wrong with your past or your ancestors or your relatives and find a reason why you are as you are. All you need to do is find out what the Bible says about who you are in Christ Jesus and live from that basis of who you are, your new identity, being a born-again, spirit-filled believer. It's great. It's liberating. Because you realize that the devil's a liar. And there's lots of churches, lots of Christians around today that are pushing this whole thing of going back into the past and lots of counseling. And yet Jesus has done it all on the cross. So the problem is a faith problem. That's the issue. It's we do not believe what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We need a fresh revelation. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. All this counseling business is, it's not that we don't need to be counseled at times. Of course we do. But this counseling business is a lack of power of the Holy Spirit. It's evidence that there's a lack of power in the church. And so God wants us, are you getting the message this morning? God wants the power of his Spirit to be operating in our lives. And we have to be a people of faith to take hold of the Holy Spirit. That if you have a gift, if Glenn was to get up this morning, hey guys, I've got £1,000 in my pocket. I want to give it away to anyone that wants. Most of us would get across to Glenn fairly rapidly, I would suggest. Apart from the spiritual ones, of course, that say, no, God will supply. Okay, but I would be there. If he was saying, I want to give away £1,000, I'd like to distribute it amongst you this morning, I'd be there. And God says, I'm giving you, not money, I'm giving you the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. I want you to receive me. I want you to make room for me. I want you to receive that fresh infilling. And you can get hold and be filled with the Spirit all on your own. You don't just need people to lay hands on you. You can actually, and I believe, you know, God is actually pushing us at this time. That's partly what this stronghold for men is all about. It's God wants to help us to see that we don't depend upon other people. We need to really depend upon God and get hold of him ourselves. God wants to reveal to us that he really has come to save us, that he really has come to live on the inside of us, that he really has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that the gift of the Holy Spirit is his power and his love that's available to you. God wants us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in a fresh way. And so we have to believe, that's faith, and then take hold of what God has to give to us. If you have an expectation, like you come along this morning, if you have no expectation that God's going to do anything in this meeting, then you'll get nothing. But if you come this morning, you think, God, there may be less people here than normal, but it doesn't matter. Because you're here and you're going to meet with me, I'm going to meet with you, and you're going to speak to me. Something's going to happen today. I'm going to be changed as a result of this morning. I'm going to go out with a greater power on my life because I met with you. I'm dependent upon you. I'm not dependent upon numbers of people. That's right, isn't it? So we need to be dependent upon God and upon his word and what he said. And this way we'll live in the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be immersed with his Spirit. And then let's go on to verse 8. Well-known verse. We've often read it, but we're going to read it again this morning. What does it say there? What does it say in verse 8? You shall receive power. Just turn to somebody, please, this morning. Just turn, look them square in the eyes and say, you, if you know their name, call them by their name. Say, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit's power is given to us not just as a one-off, that a past experience. I remember when I was first baptized in the Spirit, it happened over a period of about 2 weeks. Every night I got filled up. I was saturated in the love of God for nearly 2 weeks. That was my initial, I didn't even know what it was called, but I knew it was good. I knew it was God. And it's being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now, God wants us not just to live on a past experience, but he actually has given you the Holy Spirit so every day you can be filled with the Spirit. You can be immersed afresh every day in the Holy Spirit. Does this sound good to you? God doesn't say to you, look, you're going to have to wait for another 10 years. You'll have to wait for the year of Jubilee, 50 years, and then you can have another dose. We're just going to read about it in a few scriptures in Acts, where we see that the early church was constantly being filled with the Spirit. They needed to be because they needed the power. We need the power. It says in verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And what does it say after that? Then. It uses the word then. Then. So something's going to happen. What is it? You'll be my witnesses. So the power of the Holy Spirit is given for a purpose. What's the purpose? Witness. Thank you, Amelia. It's to witness, it's to be his witnesses. You shall receive power from on high, then you will be my witnesses. And basically Jesus was commissioning the disciples for the whole world until he comes back again. He was commissioning his disciples, it includes us today, in this commission that he gave them. You will be my witnesses in every part of the world, starting at Jerusalem. And actually ending up at Jerusalem as well. before he comes back. After saying this, they watched as Jesus ascended until a cloud hid him from their sight. They kept staring up at the sky until two men, robed in white garments, stood beside them. These weren't men in dressing gowns. These were angels. "You Galileans, why stand here looking into the sky? Jesus, who has now been taken from you, will himself come back in a similar manner to the way he has just departed into heaven." In other words, just as Jesus went physically, he'll come back physically to the earth, and he'll come back to the Mount of Olives where he left. So Jesus has written it put it in the Bible here. It's in black and white. So we don't have to listen to any other nonsense, but he's going to come back, and he'll come back to Jerusalem, just outside there, at the Mount of Olives, just outside the city. And it says the apostles returned to the city, and basically they had a prayer meeting. They had a prayer meeting for a number of days. And let's look at Acts chapter 2. Oh, no, verse 14. So let's just look at verse 14 here, because it's a key. "They met and prayed constantly together, along with the women, including Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers." So they met and prayed a lot together. And in their meeting and praying a lot together, guess who turned up? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sorting them out in those days so that they could really receive what he had. But nothing has changed. You know, today, God wants us to spend more time praying together. Not having boring prayer meetings. God doesn't want to have boring prayer meetings. He wants to have prayer. Life-giving prayer times where we have God encounters, where we meet with God in worship and prayer, and the Holy Spirit takes control and fills us up. They're the kind of prayer times that we have. That's why we call our prayer meetings victory prayer, because they're life-giving times where God begins to speak and flow through us like those rivers again. God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting the message this morning? God wants to give you his power to go and do the job. The power of the Spirit. We can't do it without the power of the Spirit. They continued with one accord in prayer. So it means that the early Christians, the early believers, were in unity together. They were literally in one accord. That meant they made the same sound. They had the same note. They weren't discordant between them. They weren't niggly things that were dividing them. They were together. They were determined. They were believing. They had one purpose, and they were going to get and receive everything Jesus had told them about, which was the Holy Spirit. How about us? Most of us here have received the Spirit. Many have been baptized in the Spirit. Perhaps a number of people still need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, totally immersed. But you know, God wants us to be ongoingly filled with the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit. And it's a gift that he's given to us every day. Amen? He wants us to have this as part of our experience so that we can go. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, verse 1, they were all gathered together, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the blowing of a gale-force wind, filling the place where they were meeting. And they saw, coming upon each of them, what appeared to be flames of fire. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages that the Spirit gave them. Amen. And it was God's intention that as he filled them with the Holy Spirit, that they would speak in other languages so that other people from other nations would hear them speaking in their own language. Isn't that wise of God? So we can't, if we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us, or if we pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon us in a meeting, we can't expect him to do exactly the same thing that he did on the day of Pentecost. No, he's going to do something completely different. And if I know anything about the Lord, is he will not be put into a box. He'll come and do exactly what he wants to do. And he'll package it just exactly for Kingdom Faith Church here. He'll package it just right for you personally in your own life with God. He'll send the Holy Spirit upon you in such a way that you will receive everything that he wants you to receive for the purpose of going. And that's why he filled the disciples here, filled them with the Spirit. They were enabled to speak in other languages. And we know the story. That they went out and they were accused of being drunk. They got so full of God. I remember one time, a number of times, I've felt so full of God, I've felt drunk. Not with alcohol, I was drunk with God's love. I remember Claire and I, this was years ago, we'd had a worship time. And we came out of this worship time with a group of people in the worship, and where it was basically a practice time just to meet with God. And I remember at that time our children were very young, and we didn't have a lot of time that we could actually have together, just her and me. And so what we did at the end of the worship time, we decided we'd have another half hour out. So we'd go to McDonald's and get a, it's very romantic, this is, it gets better. We had a thick shake and a burger. And that was part of what we did then. And I remember this particular night, God really turned up in this meeting time. I mean, the presence of God was there. And I just said to Claire, let's just go and do what we normally do. And when I walked into McDonald's, it was the most bizarre, it was the feeling of, I'm in heaven, but I'm in McDonald's. It was most peculiar. You know when you've really met with God and you're in his presence in a very tangible way. And I walked up to the counter, the lady said, yes, can I help you? And I really didn't know what to say. I thought, what are we doing here? And eventually, I think we got our thick shake when I've deciphered what number it was and where I was, that I was actually back on earth. But God wants us to have encounters with him that actually take us away from earth. He doesn't want us to be earthbound. He wants us to be unrestricted. He wants us to be released. Where do we get that time from? From spending time with him. That means that you can't do it for someone else. You meet with God yourself. And then we come together, perhaps in a prayer meeting, perhaps in a life group, maybe together here on a Sunday when in a bigger meeting, maybe like faith camp. And God moves powerfully. And if we use the picture of that prophetic word that we had today about the rivers, that if you bring your river, and we all bring the river of God that's flowing through us into the river of the Holy Spirit will cause us to flow together as one. There's tremendous power that is released when Christians get together in that way. That's why God's called us to be his body, his church, so that he can flow through us, so he can fill the church with his spirit. Look at, can you take just a little bit more? A few more minutes, and then we're going to pray. It says, Peter preached this incredible message because they reckon that these disciples were drunk. When people get drunk, what do? We often have them outside not our front door, but going along the road outside of us. What do people do when they get drunk? Sorry? They fall down. They fall down. They shout. They sing. Dance. Laugh. They lose their inhibitions and do stupid things. But you know, when God fills us with the Spirit, we could be accused of being drunk. I mean, people often say, what are you on? Yeah, are you on drugs or something? No, I'm on Jesus. It's liberating. It's freedom. It's life. It's powerful. And God wants the church to be full of the Spirit. This is the effect of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we get full of joy. But it's real. It's not fake. It's not pretend. It's not counterfeit. It's the real thing. God wants us to be full of the Spirit. And in verse 36, I think it is. Verse 36 of Acts chapter 2. So all the people of Israel need to be sure of this. God has made this Jesus, who you put to death on the cross, both Lord and Christ, your Messiah. These words were like an arrow to the heart of the people, and they said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what can we do? And Peter answered, all of you need to what? Repent and be baptized. You need to turn to God and be immersed to show you've been purified from your sins, made new and made one with Jesus Christ. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will come to live in you. For God's promise of his Spirit is for you, for your children, and even for other nations who have lived far from God, for all who the Lord our God chooses and calls to belong to them. Peter warned them at length of the consequences if they refused to repent, and pleaded with them, save yourselves from the corruption of the world that is so evident now. Those who responded to this message were baptized, about 3,000 people. Listen, Peter wasn't working on his own energy. He was, and all the disciples were full of the Holy Spirit. There was something happening that day. There was a mighty river flowing through Jerusalem. And it was a very easy thing for Peter to preach the gospel. And people, they were actually saying, what do we need to do? So the Holy Spirit was doing his work. Just say, the Holy Spirit must do his work. Because the reason the Holy Spirit must do the work is sometimes we inadvertently do the work for him and wonder why we don't get the same results. It's because we're doing this work for him. And we need to let the Holy Spirit come and take control. We need to be full of the Spirit. That's why we need to be full of the Spirit, so that he does the work. So that when we share the gospel with people, when we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel with people, if it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, what will happen is they'll start getting convicted. Not because you convicted them, because the Holy Spirit's doing his work. See, if we're full of the Spirit, there's a river flowing. You can't see the river, but that river is flowing. It's flowing in people's hearts. It's flowing around them. It's touching them. It's convincing them. It's convicting them. It's revealing things to them. You don't understand. I don't understand all that's going on. But I do know that when I'm in the Spirit, God is doing a work in that other person's life. And they don't tell you everything. Well, you don't tell everyone everything, do you? But I tell you, God is doing something in them, and there's a conviction coming. And when people start saying, what do I need to do? That's a good sign that the Holy Spirit has been doing his work, because now they're ready to receive the answer. Repent and believe. And 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. That was an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that day, wasn't it? God wants to do the same thing in our day, in his way. He wants to do the same thing. Let's just see the results. Verse 42. They then devoted themselves to being taught God's word by the apostles. This is the result of the power of the Spirit. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to sharing their lives with one another in love. They were also committed to the breaking of bread, recalling all that Christ had done for them, and to praying together. There was a sense of awe among them because of the miracles and wonderful works that God performed through the apostles. All the believers lived as members of one body and shared whatever they had with one another. They sold possessions and gave it to everyone who was in need. They continued to come together in the temple courts every day. They also met in one another's homes, sharing the Lord's Supper and eating their meals with glad and thankful hearts. They praised God and were shown favor by everyone every day. Just say every day. Every day the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved. We're talking this morning about power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. That whatever your experience has been of the Holy Spirit, God wants you to experience more. Whatever you know of the Holy Spirit, whether little or a lot, God wants you to know a lot more of him, of his love and of his power that he's placed inside of you. And he's commissioned us as a people to go. So from today, when you go out of this building, God has commissioned you to go with the gospel and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and expect God, the Holy Spirit, to do a work wherever you go. God will do a work if you believe in him, if you trust him. And we're in a season now where God wants to literally saturate us, not just a few minutes prayer at the end of this meeting, but I want to really earnestly encourage you to spend time with God. Get hold of God afresh. Be the man or the woman, if you're a woman. Get hold of God afresh, because God's got something for you. He wants you to receive a fresh, I would describe it like a fresh deluge, a fresh downpour of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not talking about a little rain. We're talking about God wants to saturate you with his presence. If you haven't experienced anything like that, let me encourage you. God will sort you out if you let him. But you have to let him have his way with you. You have to decide everything but everything is going to be handed over to God about my life. I just want one thing, that's him to be in charge. I want him to be on the throne of my life. And if I let Jesus be on the throne of my life and obey what he says, then the Holy Spirit, there's nothing will stop the Holy Spirit from coming if you'll let him. So you need to take hold afresh of the Holy Spirit in this season, because God's commissioning us to go. Go with the gospel. Go and make disciples out of young men, young women, older women, older men that we reach in our course of life. For most people, we don't have to make a mission out of it. We don't have to make a special event. We just need to get on with our lives. Because every day we're touching the shoulders of people around us who need to know about Jesus. So we haven't got to go very far. Have we? Sometimes even in your own home, but your neighbours, your friends, your workplace, your community, where you live, down the shops, all the things that you normally do, you're there. God wants you to be full of the power of the Spirit to go and make disciples. It's being, being who you are in Christ. But it's letting the Holy Spirit do that. God wants to release power to us. Let's all stand, shall we? Because I believe over these next few weeks and few months, we're going to see a great release of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. That's the promise God's given to me. Just a greater release as we take hold of, God has given us everything that we need. We just need to take hold and thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit.